Hello, this is Kurt Benrud with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading movie reviews and theater previews. These are reviews of movies and previews of local theater that will be available with audio description. And so if you're ready to attend a movie or a play, listen up, because on Friday, June 25th at 8 p.m., Justice Theater Project will be offering the Irish play Dancing at Lunasa, or to pronounce it properly, it's Dancing at Lunasa. They'll be performing in the Cardinal Gibbons High School Performing Arts Center, and be aware there are free tickets for this particular show for one blind patron and a companion, and you can call 215-0889. That's 215-0889, and tell them, I want two of those free tickets. This is a wonderful show. I'll tell you a little bit more about it after a bit here. Meanwhile, you need to know that on Saturday, July 31st at 2 p.m., that's a ways down the road, but North Carolina Theater will be producing Annie, and that's in Memorial Auditorium in downtown Raleigh. Some movies that are going to be out there on the easily afforded screen at the Art Museum on Blue Ridge Road in Raleigh. On Friday, June 25th, 9 p.m., It's Complicated. And then on Saturday, July 10th at 9 p.m., The Blind Side. And finally on Saturday, August 21st at 8:30 p.m., Crazy Heart. All of these are only $4, or if you're a member of the museum, they're free. And there's no additional charge beyond the regular admission for the audio description service. And it's just like for plays, it's provided by Arts Access of Raleigh. So that's a list of what's available. A closer look now at Dancing at Lunasa. It's written by Irish playwright Brian Friel. And there are five unmarried sisters in a small Irish village in 1936, and they hope and dream for a better life. While music from their radio transforms and transports them, this haunting play is a tribute to the spirit and valor of family. This play won 3 Tony Awards, and what's going on here is during the Festival of Lunasa, which celebrates the pagan god of the harvest with drunken revelry and dancing, the spare existence of this family is interrupted by brief, colorful outbursts of music from their radio, which is their only link to the romance and hope of the world at large. The play is told through the memory of the illegitimate son of one of the sisters, as he remembers the 5 women who raised him, and these are his mother and his 4 maiden aunts. He's only 7 years old in 1936, and this is the year that his elderly uncle, who is a priest, returns after serving for 25 years as a missionary in a Ugandan leper colony. The sisters acquire their first radio, whose music transforms them from correct Catholic women to shrieking, stomping banshees in their own kitchen. He also meets his father for the first time, who is a charming drifter from Wales, who strolls up the lane and sweeps his mother away in an elegant dance across the fields. This haunting play is a tribute to the spirit and valor of family. And once again, the audio-described performance is Friday, June 25th at 8 p.m. And here comes a phone number, so get ready to get somebody to keep up with this. To get free tickets for this show on Friday, June 25th at 8 p.m., call 215-0889. That's 215-0889. Tell them you're a Triangle Radio Reading Service listener, and tell them that you want a pair of tickets to Dancing at Lunasa. Okay, let's quickly duck from live theater over to the big screen. We've got three movies out there floating around that are currently available with audio description. One is Shrek Forever After, another is Prince of Persia, and the third one is Robin Hood. Now for Shrek Forever After and Robin Hood, you got to kind of hurry. Shrek Forever After is playing at the Beaver Creek Stadium in Apex and the White Oak Stadium in Garner. It's both of these theaters. It's playing through the 27th, which is Thursday of this week. Robin Hood, you also need to hurry because it's playing at the North Hills Stadium in Raleigh. And once again, that's through the 27th, which is Thursday of this week. Prince of Persia opens on Friday at the Beaver Creek in Apex and at the White Oak in Garner. And in both cases, it plays through the 6th of June, which is Wednesday of next week. So a quick look at Robin Hood. It's rated PG-13, and it's an action-adventure drama. Runs for a total of 148 minutes, and it's directed by Ridley Scott. The cast includes Russell Crowe, Cate Blanchett, William Hurt, Mark Strong, Mark Addy, Oscar Isaac, Danny Houston, Eileen Atkins, and Max von Sydow. This movie chronicles the life of an expert archer, previously interested only in self-preservation, and it keeps an eye on him from his service in King Richard's army against the French. Upon Richard's death, Robin travels to Nottingham, a town suffering from the corruption of a despotic sheriff and crippling taxation, where he falls for the spirited widow, Lady Marian, a woman skeptical of the identity and motivations of this crusader from the forest. Hoping to earn the hand of Maid Marian and salvage the village, Robin assembles a gang whose lethal mercenary skills are matched only by its appetite for life. Together they begin preying upon the indulgent upper class to correct injustices under the sheriff. With their country weakened from decades of war, embattled from the ineffective rule of the new king, and vulnerable to insurgencies from within and from threats from afar, Robin and his men heed a call to ever greater adventure. This unlikeliest of heroes and his allies set off to protect their country from slipping into bloody civil war and return glory to England once more. And once again, Robin Hood is playing through Thursday, the 27th of May, at the North Hills Stadium in Raleigh. Now, to contact them, get ready for a phone number here. It's 786-4494. That's 786-4494. You'll want to get show times for the audio-described screen for Robin Hood. And now, taking a look over at the other theaters, Shrek Forever After is an animation action-adventure comedy that runs for 94 minutes. It's rated PG. It's directed by Mike Mitchell, and the cast, now these are the voices of Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, Antonio Banderas, Julie Andrews, Justin Timberlake, John Hamm, Maya Rudolph, Amy Sedaris, and Craig Robinson. Now, after challenging an evil dragon, rescuing a beautiful princess, and saving your in-law's kingdom, what's an ogre to do? Well, if you're Shrek, you suddenly wind up a domesticated family man. Longing for the days when he felt like a real ogre, Shrek is duped into signing a pact with the smooth-talking dealmaker Rumpelstiltskin. Now it's up to Shrek to undo all he's done in the hopes of restoring his world. James Berardinelli gives this movie a 3 out of a possible 4 stars, and he says, "When the first Shrek made its theatrical debut in 2001, it came accompanied by expectations normally reserved for sequels with impressive pedigrees. Unlike any previous animated endeavor, it was a magically irreverent experience whose appeal crossed age and gender barriers. Unfortunately, as is often the case with family-friendly blockbusters, it became the flagship of a merchandising fleet. Sequels followed. Shrek 2 was enjoyable but unspectacular, and Shrek 3 seemed to be going through the motions. The fourth Shrek, called Shrek Forever After, is being touted as the final chapter, and that's unsurprising. The goose's eggs have gone from gold to silver to clad. There's so little buzz about this movie that even those with bee sting allergies need not be concerned. Still, even though Shrek Forever After is obligatory and unnecessary, it's better than Shrek 3, and it's likely that most who attend as a way of saying goodbye to the jolly green ogre will not find themselves wishing they had sought out a more profitable way of spending 90-odd minutes. It has been said that if you're going to steal, steal from the best. And the filmmakers responsible for Shrek Forever After have taken this advice to heart. The core storyline has been lifted from It's a Wonderful Life, albeit with the character of Clarence turned nastier than Mr. Potter. Shrek, with the voice of Mike Myers, is provided with a chance to see life flash before his eyes as it might have been had he never been born. He gets into the situation because he's upset with the mundane, day-to-day routine of being an ogre who doesn't scare anyone. For one day, he wants the world to go back to a time when everything makes sense. The impish Rumpelstiltskin overhears Shrek's wish and offers to grant it. Shrek doesn't read the small print in the contract he signs and soon discovers that his existence is in danger. Fortune unites him with Donkey, played by Eddie Murphy, who is more than a little skeptical of Shrek's hard-to-swallow tale. To get his old life back, Shrek has to fulfill an escape clause in the contract, which requires him to find his wife, Fiona, voiced by Cameron Diaz, and share a kiss of true love with her. There are problems. First, in this reality, Fiona is a warrior queen who has long since stopped believing in such things as true love. Second, Shrek fails to make a positive impression during their initial encounter. Finally, Rumpelstiltskin, who knows about the escape clause and is determined not to let Shrek and Fiona lock lips. As It's a Wonderful Life knockoffs go, this one isn't bad. There's always a fascination with seeing a familiar world with recognizable characters tweaked in unexpected ways. That's one reason the 2009 Star Trek worked so well. Unfortunately, for those hoping the final Shrek would find its way back to the wellspring of pure entertainment that marked the original, it doesn't happen. In fact, the whole reason Shrek Forever After has to play the alternate reality card is because there is no place for the story to go in the, quote, real world. Shrek is comfortably married with children, and he's leading a depressingly ordinary life. The animation is eye-catching and rich in detail, but it hasn't advanced much from what graced screens in 2001. The original Shrek was widely praised for its look, and apparently the goal with the sequels was not to deviate much. Although Shrek Forever After is not as funny or as impudent as its great-grandparent, some of its comedic jabs land solid blows to the funny bone. The best humor relates to Puss and Boots, played by Antonio Banderas, the flamboyant cat with the big sad eyes. In the alternate reality, Puss has grown flat and flabby, and the screenplay gets plenty of mileage from this situation. Sadly, the two villains, Rumpelstiltskin and his hired henchman, the Pied Piper, are lacking when it comes to generating guffaws. Rumpelstiltskin is a diluted Lord Farquaad. Even though this is officially the last Shrek movie, there's no guarantee the character is retiring. In fact, a spin-off focused on Puss in Boots is already in the work, ensuring a continuation of the incredibly profitable franchise in at least some form. Is Puss a more interesting character than Shrek? At this point, yes, but who knows in another 3 years? One could successfully argue that Shrek Forever After is three Shreks too many. At least the filmmakers have allowed Shrek to depart on a strong note, rather than slinking away into his swamp. There might not be much reason for excitement concerning Shrek Forever After, but neither is there anything to dread. It's a perfectly acceptable, family-friendly summer sequel, which is likely all the filmmakers hoped for. And so once again, the name of the movie is Shrek Forever After. It's playing through this Thursday, that's May 27th, at both the Apex Beaver Creek Stadium Theater and the Garner White Oak Stadium Theater. And I'm going to give those phone numbers one more time just now. These will also apply to the other movies showing there. To get showing times for Shrek Forever After and for Prince of Persia, you can call the Beaver Creek Stadium in Apex at 362-7342. That's 362-7342. Or you can call the White Oak Stadium in Garner at 779-7499. That's 779-7499. Well, speaking of Prince of Persia, which shows at both of those theaters starting Friday of this week, which is May 28th, and running through next Thursday, which is June 3rd, this is a movie that runs for 115 minutes. It's of the action-adventure type, rated PG-13. It's directed by Mike Newell, and it stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Ben Kingsley, Gemma Arterton, and Alfred Molina. It's from the team that brought the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy to the big screen, and Walt Disney Pictures and Jerry Bruckheimer Films present The Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. It's an epic action-adventure set in the mystical lands of Persia. A rogue prince reluctantly joins forces with a mysterious princess, and together they race against dark forces to safeguard an ancient dagger capable of releasing the sands of time, a gift from the gods that can reverse time and allow its possessor to rule the world. This next review is from Leslie Felperin, who says that this Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, is silky to the touch, but slips from the mind all too easily. It's based loosely on a series of popular video games, and producer Jerry Bruckheimer's passably enjoyable, antiquity-themed epic should satisfy its young, male, core demographic well enough, but won't connect with other audiences on the level of Bruckheimer's Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. Mike Newell's workmanlike helming is no embarrassment, but the pick's lack of game-changing originality, distinguishing anarchic streak, or 3D wow factor may relegate this to summertime also-ran status. From its opening moments, as mock medieval subtitles foretell lives shaped by destiny, and a map of ancient Persia shows the empire's scale, this movie feels resolutely old-fashioned. Until Alfred Molina shows up as a comic relief proto-libertarian halfway through, the script lacks the deliberately anachronistic tongue-in-cheek humor audiences have come to expect from big-budget period productions. Remove the state-of-the-art FX, and Prince would look like a piece with the 1924 Douglas Fairbanks version of The Thief of Baghdad. It's more throwback than retro refit. That said, the script, credited to Boaz Yakin, Doug Muro, and Carlo Bernard, based on a story by Jordan Mechner, who creates the original games, struggles in one major contempo subtext. The whole plot hinges on the fact that the baddie has tricked the Persian army into invading the city of Alamut because its denizens are supposedly smuggling weapons of minor destruction, basically swords, to Persia's enemies. The film's cloudy allegory about the current war in Iraq might spark some debate, but on the surface, its messages about brotherhood is much more anodyne. When young street rat Dastan, played by Will Foster, catches the eye of King Shamaran, played by Ronald Pickup, in the city market, the king raises Dastan as his own son, as he grows up to be Jake Gyllenhaal. Alongside his natural-born sons, Garsif, the emperor's good-hearted heir and the more belligerent Tuss, Shahriman's brother, Nizam, played by Ben Kingsley, wearing eyeliner and a sneer borrowed from Jafar in Aladdin, acts as a shadowy advisor in the court. During the sacking of Alamut, Dastan gets his hands on a beautiful dagger with a crystal hilt that holds the titular sands of time. When anyone clicks a ruby on the hilt, the dagger, like a magic ballpoint, sends that person a minute back in time, prompting brief storms of swirling animated gold dust and visual effects. Haughty but hot, Princess Tamina, played by Gemma Arterton, wants the dagger back. She goes on the run with Dastan when he's accused of murdering his father, and the two eventually fall into each other's arms, but first into the greasy clutches of Molina's shady Sheik Amar, a roguish, self-styled promoter who runs ostrich races and hates tax collectors. Even audiences who have never heard of Prince of Persia will be able to spot that this is all derived from a platform-based computer game. So metronomic is the pacing of fights and action scenes, escalating to a final showdown between Dastan and his biggest foe. The interstitial stabs of drama are about substantial enough to maintain moderate grown-up interest, although the dialogue is largely boilerplate Bruckheimer, a mix of heroic declamations, painstakingly spelt out explication, and semi-amusing wisecracks. Script's cleverest move is a structural tweak on the last reel that evokes a game player's approach to story. Having limbered up with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Protean Brit Helmer Mike Newell does just fine popping the action's kernels, but any personal seasoning can hardly be tasted. Perhaps what Newell brought most to the party was an affinity with the almost entirely British cast and crew. Thesbing is generally adequate, but no better, with the expressive Arterton best in show and Gyllenhaal a minor disappointment. Physically, he has the grace and chiseled biceps of a megastar in the making, but the wolfish charisma he usually projects in smaller dramas seems to have degraded here into hangdog dopiness. The ever-reliable Molina adds sparkle, but no one else seems to have that much fun, or doing what Johnny Depp did for Pirates of the Caribbean. And so this is Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. And once again, this is playing at the Beaver Creek Stadium in Apex and the White Oak Stadium in Garner. And it opens on the 28th of May, which is a Friday, and runs through the 6th or the 3rd of June, which is the following Thursday. Let's go from the big screen now to the small screen, where we're talking about movies on the TV. And on Wednesday, which is the 26th of May, from 5 o'clock in the afternoon until 7 p.m. on the FX channel is Enemy of the State. And in this movie, a fellow named Robert Dean, who is played by Will Smith, has his life turned upside down by the government. And this movie's described as a brash thriller. Later that evening on Turner Classic Movies at 10:15, a 1945 movie called They Were Expendable. A Navy commander fights to prove the battle-worthiness of the PT boat at the start of World War II. Robert Montgomery, John Wayne, and Donna Reed star in this John Ford drama. It runs 135 minutes, and it's rated TV PG. On Friday, 9:30 in the morning, a 1944 movie called 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, in which General Jimmy Doolittle trains American troops for the first airborne attacks on Japan. It stars Spencer Tracy, Van Johnson, and Robert Walker. It's directed by Mervyn LeRoy. Runs 138 minutes. It's also TV PG. 3:30 in the afternoon, still on Friday, is Battleground, a 1949 movie in which American soldiers in France fight to survive a Nazi siege just before the Battle of the Bulge. Van Johnson is also in this one, as is John Hodiak and Ricardo Montalbán. The director is William A. Wellman. It runs for 119 minutes with a PG rating. 5:30, still on Friday afternoon, is Sergeant York from 1941. It's the true story of the farm boy who made the transition from religious pacifist to World War I hero, starring Gary Cooper, Walter Brennan, and Margaret Wycherly. Directed by Howard Hawks, it runs for 134 minutes, rated TV G. On Saturday, which is the 29th, 11 o'clock at night, is Pride of the Marines from 1945. A blinded Marine tries to adjust to civilian life. The cast includes John Garfield, Eleanor Parker, Dane Clark. It's directed by Delmer Daves. Runs 120 minutes, rated G. Still on the war theme, on Sunday at noon is The Dirty Dozen from 1967. A renegade officer trains a group of misfits for a crucial mission behind enemy lines, with Lee Marvin, John Cassavetes, Charles Bronson included in the cast, also Telly Savalas, and James Brown. The director is Robert Aldrich. It runs 150 minutes, rated TV PG. 8 o'clock on Sunday evening is another showing of Enemy of the State on FX, and that shows again at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. I'm sorry, on Monday afternoon. That's Monday the 31st at 5 o'clock on FX, Enemy of the State. And then at 8 o'clock on Monday evening is the 1970s movie Kelly's Heroes, in which an American platoon tries to recover buried treasure behind enemy lines. This cast includes Clint Eastwood, Telly Savalas, and Donald Sutherland. It's directed by Brian G. Hutton. It runs 144 minutes, and it's rated TV 14. So for a little more about this Enemy of the State, Roger Ebert gives it 3 out of a possible 4 stars. When can you catch it? Well, it's Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock. It's also on Sunday at 8 o'clock in the evening, and it's Monday at 5 o'clock in the evening. Roger Ebert says that Enemy of the State uses the thriller genre to attack what it calls the surveillance society, an America in which underground computers at Fort Meade monitor our phone calls for trigger words like bomb, president, and Allah. It stars Will Smith as a Washington, D.C. lawyer whose life is dismantled bit by bit and bite by bite because he possesses proof that a congressman was murdered for opposing a bill that would make government snooping easier. Roger Ebert tells us that the movie is fast-paced, and it's centered around two big chase scenes, and it ends in a clever double cross that leads to a big shootout. He says that by and large the movie works. Will Smith is credible as a good lawyer who is blindsided by the misused power of the state. Gene Hackman seems utterly confident of everything he says, and John Voight's bureaucratic character seems convinced that his job somehow places him above the law. The quote says, "We are at war 24 hours a day," he barks out nearing the beginning of the film. It was Pogo, incidentally, who said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Well, anyway, friends and neighbors, we're running out of time for movie reviews and theater previews. Please join us again in a couple of weeks. I'm Kurt Benrud for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Before I say goodbye, I want to remind you that Enemy of the State plays on FX Wednesday at 5 o'clock, Sunday at 8 p.m., and Monday at 5 o'clock. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.